that surpasses, goes beyond human understanding.
For more expository preaching from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, tune in weeknights at 9 and Saturday mornings at 9 on The Truth.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, the issue today, COVID, Dr. Fauci, and the 2020 stolen election. We see a nexus with these 3 things: COVID, Fauci, and the stolen election. I believe there's a major, major nexus. We'll understand the problem that we faced during the 4 years approximately for COVID, and what is taking place even today as the onion is being unpeeled. Before we start taking our next callers, let me remind you that in Colossians 2:8, the Bible says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." You want me to do a little quick surface translation? Be careful what you hear. Be careful who says it. Be careful what you believe. And believe what the Scripture says, and not what man is saying, trying to convince us of. I believe that's a good little footnote that we need to recognize and need to honor. I believe we have a caller on the line. Jim, go with the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, how are you today?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well. I believe that the 2 incidences are interconnected. Just a real quick here, the PCR test there, I think they call it polymeric chain reaction. Prior to the vaccination being available, Fauci never mentioned a single word about the test cycles delivering false if the cycles were over 34. After the vaccination was released, he all of a sudden was shouting from the rooftop that over 34 would produce a false positive. Where this is important at is it skews the statistics there for the efficacy of the vaccine. Mm-hmm. Also, as a personal recollection here, because I've spoke with you many times during that period, I know for a fact that 2 states, Pennsylvania and Georgia, modified their mailer voting policies. And I don't want to say other states, but I know that there were other states, but I know for positive for sure that Pennsylvania and Georgia did, thereby leading into the 2020 election where we had lesser standards for validation and verification of mailer voting. And Denise D'Souza did a really good, you're correct on the 2,000 Mules. That was an excellent documentary, but it was being hailed as missed, dis, and malinformation.
Yes.
By members of the Congress and the press.
Yes.
So it was a tactic that was used in conjunction to create incidences that were symbiotic, the mail-in voting and the push for the vaccine itself.
And Jim, perhaps you remember the 5 states that usually make the determination of an election called the term that we call those 5 states. What do we call those five states?
Oh, they're called key states, where it's like Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. Georgia, I think Michigan's one of them.
Yeah.
Ohio.
Each of those five states, if you remember the election on 2020, each of those five states, it was either 3 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning, they all stopped counting simultaneously. At the time they stopped counting, Trump was ahead by mega hundreds of thousands of votes. They started back to counting. When they did, you can look at a graph, it spiked straight up. All of the votes then were for Joe Biden. So statistically, it's an impossibility for that to be real and to be relevant in counting it. That was a major, major, major indication. And when on the 2000 News video of D'Souza that he showed, where a person was going with a van, taking boxes of mail-in ballots, putting them in drop box here, drive a little further, put another drop box. And then when we find out now that one of the whistleblowers, I can't call his name, don't recall it, got the article, one of the whistleblowers said that China printed 1.5 million U.S. election mail-in ballots. They were shipped to Canada. Canada shipped them to Mexico. Mexico shipped them to the recipient. He's not told who the recipients were yet in America. And they were dispersed. Those are the ones that you recall in the counting when there was a question that the mail-in ballots, all of them were printed with the little blob in there as to who was to, they were voting for. It wasn't filled in by an ink pen, filled in by the printer's ink on those. Those were most likely, my opinion, the Chinese printed ballots, the Communist Chinese Party. And yet it was the Democrats that were saying that the Russians were involved trying to sway the election to get Trump elected, and therefore that was his, they were trying to steal the democracy or the ballot or the vote itself. It was Trump trying to do that, when at the same time it was the Democrats stealing the election. Joe Biden in his basement was an impossibility statistically to win the election. So when we see that and we understand it, what say you in relationship, going back to a different thought that's in the study of the thought, the issue today, COVID, Fauci, and the stolen 2020 election? What do you think about Dr. Fauci, Sir Anthony Fauci's 1,140 pages transcribed from his diary? What do you think about the fact that he was lying to the public, lying to the media, having dinners with Jake Tapper and his wife, butting up with the media, and at the same time writing the truth in his diary? What are your thoughts on that?
The man is obviously his own best fan. That I've gleaned from reading it. The second thing that I gleaned there, he's willing to say any lie publicly to advance his personal cause. Mm-hmm. He did the same thing back in the early 80s there with the AIDS epidemic when it first came out. He used that for his own personal edification, and use that to enhance his status there. This man's corrupt to the core, in my opinion. He's out for nobody but himself, and he does not care what happens to anybody outside of his own personal circle. He's the worst kind of individual that should be in a position or given the influence and position that he was in. Narcissist and Napoleon.
Not only his narcissism and his deification of self, but then what he did to the general public is the thing that's so dangerous and not to be recognized by every listener today. I'm looking at headlines that says, Fauci diary shows he lied to the public about everything. Coronavirus fatality rate, etc. Former National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, NIAID, Chief Anthony Fauci publicly lied about the coronavirus fatality rate, initially telling the public it was 2 to 2.5%, but privately recording in his own diary no more than 0.2%. There's a major difference. And when you look at the statistical data on, well, let me just back up. for example, in my interviews with Dr. Reed Sheftall, he said that we had on a global basis in 2019, 45 million people in 2019, 45 million people globally that died because of the pneumonia and the common flu. In 2020, after the onset of the debut of coronavirus, globally only 1,500, that's 1,500 people, died from influenza and or pneumonia. And he, Dr. Sheftall, has proven in his books on that subject, three of them, COVID Lies, et cetera, he's proven that they simply took that which was taking place with the deaths because of that common, normal disease each year and taking those and calling them COVID. Good illustration of that, Jim, and you remember it, right down in South Florida. A man riding his motorcycle crossed an intersection, had a wreck, died, and before his actual death, he was rushed to the hospital, and on his death certificate showed that he died from COVID. Now, that's how big the lie had grown on a national basis. But what is frightening is that the general public embraced everything Fauci said. And one of the things that should be frightening to anybody, Dr. Fauci bragged in his diary that he had President Trump fooled, that President Trump would listen to him and believe him. And now Trump even said this morning in an interview on Fox News, Trump said that he believed him for a while because, after all, he'd been so long with the federal government as the top doctor, so to speak. And so he believed him for a while, began to realize he was a lie. Dr. Atlas, one of the truth tellers at the very outset, said that Dr. Fauci was lying about the statistics, lying about the deadliness of COVID, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, Dr. Atlas was part of the commission that was set up by President Trump and put Mike Pence, vice president, over the commission. And Mike Pence is the one, according to Dr. Atlas, that kicked him off the commission because he was telling one thing and Dr. Fauci was telling another. And the proof is now in the pudding, as the old cliche goes. Dr. Atlas was 100% correct. And so were many, many, many other doctors. Now, my question to you, Jim, all of these physicians, we've got some, I believe the number is about 13 million physicians in America. And all of the physicians that lost their license, lost their practice, are in some way majorly destroyed because of telling the truth, standing up against Fauci. What should the recourse be? Should they have a recourse? Is it possible for them to be to recapture their reputation and be paid for the damages? What say you about that?
I agree with that statement 100%. I'd like to point out a math problem here. 2% is 2 out of every 100. 0.2% is 2 out of every 1,000. So he definitely lied there. But, yeah, they should be reinstituted with their medical license and compensated by Fauci personally from his estate, from his accounts.
Yeah, Fauci was for 30 years the highest paid federal worker. I believe at the time he retired, he was on a salary of almost $500,000 a year, more than the president makes annually. And yet he was believed, trusted, and he took that trust and deliberately carried out the task of murdering. I believe he murdered a million people in America, not counting other nations, the number of people that died as a result of his so-called science background. And one other thing, Jim, and I'll let you go.
Yes, sir.
Over 240 tests, research has been done on masks. Not one research on masks shows, even with the N95 mask, not one research shows that that mask can prevent the transmission or the receiving of any pathogen. In fact, on the OSHA website, prior to this onset of COVID, OSHA website said that putting on a mask to prevent the pathogen is like putting a chain link fence to keep the gnats out. The N95 mask, the micron openings are 3 microns. With the COVID pathogen, the COVID virus was 1 micron. So the question always has been, can a 1 micron object get through an opening of 3 microns? Absolutely, unequivocally. Yet Fauci is the one that told the public you need to wear a mask. Then it needs to be two, three, perhaps even four masks. And yet he was going out with no mask on, having dinner with Jake Tapper and his wife, while everybody else was locked down, locked up, and petrified for the future life and the life of their loved ones. So, Jim, it demands the attention. What I'm wanting our listeners to understand today, we've been lied to, we've been deceived. As a result of the lies and the deception, we lost an election. We had an election stolen. We lost a million plus lives, not counting the devastation financially of those businesses that were locked up, churches that never reopened as a result of the forced closure. So what it demands is, Jim, in my opinion, is that we vet the candidates, conservatives, Christians, and patriots, hold the future of this nation in the election, the primary in Florida that's coming up in 3 weeks, and then at the general election, the midterm election, November the 3rd of this year. So it demands our prayer and our focus on that. Jim, thank you so much for your call. God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're talking about COVID. We could call it COVID lies. Dr. Fauci and the stolen 2020 election. I'm looking at a headline, Fauci diary shows he lied to the public about everything. I read that headline earlier. Further, it says, this explosive revelation is found in Fauci's personal diary documenting his day-to-day duties in the early days of the Trump administration's coronavirus response. Senator Rand Paul, Republican of Kentucky, chairman of the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs, released the diary ahead of Fauci's appearance before the committee. In February 2020 entry, Dr. Fauci recorded the number of cases as well as his many media appearances. He also summarized that the mortality rate of the virus was more than 2-3%, but in his diary he said that it would be 0.2% rather than 2.0%. And as Jim just said, that's a vast difference. The entry reads, Tom Frieden called me this a.m. This is Fauci. Called me this a.m. We discussed the various aspects of the outbreak. He and I are on the same page in thinking that this is acting like a bad, listen, admitting that this COVID is acting like only a bad influenza and is transmissible by that the denominator is much greater than 34.867 above, making the case fatality rate more like 2%. Ladies and gentlemen, I find it a major, major personality flaw for anyone like Fauci to lie to the public, to laugh at the public, and then sitting in one interview says that these vaccine deniers, the mask deniers, these disinformation, misinformation tellers were laughing at science. And he said, I am science. And they're laughing at me when they laugh at science. The mindset that he had was he was the first, foremost, and final authority. This goes further, says, however, that is not what Fauci was saying publicly around that same time. During March appearance on Hannity, Fauci said the mortality for the coronavirus is about 2-2.5%. The mortality for seasonal flu is 0.1%. The mortality for this is also about 2-2.5%. It's probably lower than that. It's probably closer to 1. But even if it is 1, it's 10 times more lethal than the common seasonal flu. And ladies and gentlemen, the end result, as of this very moment, proof is in the pudding, as my mother used to say. And with the mortality rate, what was done, what was said, and the end result. And by the way, the various records where CDC and FDA were keeping the records, they have lied, they've kept it sequestered, they doctored the record, they would not put out the actual numbers, the factual figures, etc. But proof is in the pudding. The mortality rate was closer to, almost identical to, the common annual pneumonia and virus, the influenza virus. And yet we were frightened as a nation. People closed their businesses, lost their business. Multitudes were never opened as a result of it. This article goes further and made this statement. He says it's probably closer to one, but even if it's one, it's 10 times more lethal than the seasonal flu. He lied by just quoting false, fallacious numbers. That same month, testifying before Congress, Fauci touted those same figures again. Well, understand that the seasonal flu that we deal with every year has a mortality rate of 0.1%. That started mortality over of this, that stated mortality over all of this, when you look at all the data, including China, is about 3%. He jumps from 2% to 2.5%, then he calls it 3%, whatever was convenient at the time to work up the general public. And the thing is, ladies and gentlemen, he had the entire media eating out of his hand, being the false teller rather than the truth tellers. And if I said anything, if you said anything on social media, it was summarily discounted, summarily taken down, summarily blocked, and the whole nation was in a quandary as what should we do in relationship to that which is being said by Fauci. Now, going back to the stolen election, I believe that the 2020 election was stolen without any question. We had those, for example, in the state of Georgia, where some 18 people, time won't allow us to go into it. Let me just give you the headline. Who is indicted alongside Trump in the Georgia election case? Four of the 18 co-defendants charged alongside President Trump for allegedly participating in a wide-ranging effort to overturn the results of the 2020 election have already pleaded guilty. Listen, they would offer an opportunity to plead out, pay a fine, go to prison 6 months to 24 months, rather than going through bankrupting them, as it did with Rudy Giuliani and others. This article reads, the alleged co-conspirators, including well-known Trump allies, including his attorney, former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani, former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, as well as relatively unknown collaborators, including the former Georgia bail bondsman, etc., etc. The charges from Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis range from racketeering to conspiracy to commit election fraud. And Sidney Powell, one of Trump's attorneys, had her license removed. She was charged with trying to overthrow an election. This goes back to what I said earlier to one of our callers. We had dozens upon dozens upon dozens of people that just because they questioned the election, if they had any nexus with President Trump, they were charged with racketeering, trying to overthrow an election. Some were bankrupted. Rudy Giuliani, the former mayor of New York, bankrupted. Had others that were bankrupted. Others that their lives were stolen from them. Their professional life was stolen from them. Their businesses were stolen from them. Reputation gone as a result of simply standing for truth. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the truth is finally being uncovered, that they were the ones that were the truth tellers. They were the ones that were standing for truth. They were the ones that were standing in the gap to try to protect us as Americans from the lie with the election being stolen. I'm looking at a headline, election fraud. Convictions offer a real-world test of Save America Act and its potential. Here's another headline. Democrat New Jersey governor says thousands of non-citizens discovered on the voter rolls. In fact, there were some 6,600 just in Mikey Sherrill's, she's the governor in the state in New Jersey, and she finally admitted that 6,600, but only a few of those, maybe 400, voted. Ladies and gentlemen, in all of the elections where there's been truth that's brought out, blue states primarily, where hundreds of thousands of illegals were on the ballots. This is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, let me side with President Trump for a moment. This is where the SAVE Act is so vital. And yet we have John Thune that's saying, hey, he just retorted back to President Trump this morning, because Trump said in a speech last evening that John Thune personally called his name publicly and said, John Thune, do something to get the SAVE Act passed. John Thune said this morning in one of his interviews, he's calling Trump, says, for President Trump to show me a path where that can be done. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the path is simple. The path is very simple. Stay in session. Don't go on vacation for 30 days. Stay in session until you have the votes. Put the vote on the floor. Let the forget the filibuster rule. Set it aside and let only 50 plus percent make the decision. let everybody that wants to talk, talk until they drop on the floor, and let them simply try to prevent it on a talking filibuster rather than a voting filibuster, and then let it come to the floor for a vote. I believe the vote would be there because the general public, Democrats and Republicans, over 80% want the SAVE Act passed. And let me be a broken recording. I've said hundreds and hundreds of times, the conservatives, the Christians, and the patriots hold the future of our constitutional republic in our hands. If we fail to vote, if we fail to vet the candidates, and fail to vote November the 3rd, we, listen, not maybe, not perhaps, we will lose America. Hear me. We will lose the two-party system. We will have a uniparty, and it will be primarily made up of the socialist, Marxist, communists that call themselves Democrats that will rule America for in perpetuity. We need to recognize the danger that we stand in. I'm looking at a headline that says, Court makes huge decision in President Trump's battle for election integrity. I'm thankful for this. It's a partial victory. But President Trump, by executive order, said that the U.S. mail could not deliver mail-in ballots after those that had been cast on that day of the election. And the court said that he couldn't do that. So now he's simply gotten a partial victory. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia has delivered a huge victory for President Donald Trump in his battle for election integrity. It has allowed, for now, a plan to move forward with means that the United States Post Office will not handle mail-in absentee ballots from people unless they're in the states with federally approved citizenship list. So at least, ladies and gentlemen, the illegal invaders cannot send in a mail-in ballot and it be counted. The U.S. Post Office is forbidden from delivering that kind of ballot. This article reads, ensuring citizenship verification and integrity in federal elections instructs federal agencies to develop state-specific list of voters who are confirmed U.S. citizens, and it includes instructions for the United States Post Office not to handle mail-in absentee ballots from any individual unless they are on the approved citizenship list. Ladies and gentlemen, ACLG, Jay Sekulow said this, we're headed for a disaster if we don't do something now. The radical left is working overtime to undermine the integrity of our elections. New Jersey was just caught with thousands of illegal registered non-citizens that were not citizens, but actually some of them did not vote. That claim was very with a glitch that says only about 400. The California Attorney General just got caught changing voter ID ballot measures to make it look like it would block citizens from voting. It's a complete lie, Jay Sekulow says. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Join Reach Church and Pastor Eric Sousa. We